Thanks for coming, guys. I do appreciate the chance to speak to everyone, and I do have lots in my heart, and I know it's for you guys, because it's for me as well, but for you guys too, so it's great to offload it onto you, and I do love the opportunity to speak, because there's lots to say. So I hope that you just take whatever you want out of it. I think so. Write it down. Whatever's for you, I'm sure there's going to be stuff for everyone. It's going to be different stuff. As usual, I don't really know what I'm going to end up saying, but I've got a few ideas.
Is this being recorded?
I believe it is.
It's being recorded.
But I really hope that, yeah, you can just take out what you want. And I really hope that our meetings would be much more looser, in the sense that we wouldn't worship and then sort of stop and sort of switch off what the Spirit's doing and then listen to the Word. Because it's better to know the God of the Word than the Word of God.
Amen.
Okay, so if you want to shout amen, shout amen. But I think what happens is we want to get intellectual and we want to switch off. I would love, as I'm preaching, someone to just lie on the floor and God puts them in a vision or something. I would love that, not falling asleep. But I would love that the Spirit would be moving while I'm preaching, because the Word of God is faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so, as a lot of what Carl was saying, that God, we might believe more. As things are preached, we're given faith and we see more, and it's in the Spirit. So I really hope that we can have that culture in our church, that as the preaching is going on, people are just encountering the Spirit powerfully. Thank you. That you're encountering the Spirit powerfully, and if the Spirit's confirming some of you, you agree with it, and let's move away from like an intellectual thing in our minds, because the Word just increases the buzz of the Holy Spirit in us. That's what made my experience. We've got that buzz, that life of God in us. And as the Word comes, it just confirms it more. And it's lovely, and we just agree with it, and it fills us. And I just want to start off with a few things I really thought God was saying to us. So the earmark of a true Christian is extreme satisfaction. Is extreme satisfaction. Jesus said, "He who believes in me shall never hunger nor thirst." If you're hungry or you thirsty right now in your spirit, there's more for you to be found in the bread of life. We need to be satisfied in God, in the Spirit. Jesus says, I'm the life. He gives us the life of God in us. He's not going to give us a way to find life in the world. He's going to give us life itself. Spirit is life, and we actually can feel the tangible substance of God in us, that resounding thing that's overflowing from us. That's where God wants us to be, so that no matter what comes and what happens, troubles come, joy will just spill out of you, because you're so full of the life of God. So I just want to say, as I'm speaking, I pray that that will be imparted to you, that the words will just bring more and more life to you, and you'll feel that satisfaction. And just the two things I want to speak on tonight are just very clear, and it's what's going on in my life, and it's what I think God's saying to us about where we're going as a church. And I also think it's almost like a prophetic picture for me, for almost in my ministry, or my own private ministry that I want to give away to others, what I think are two key things that believers should know, and what a believer should look like. And the thing started on Sunday night. I went with Luke and Glenn to Church on Man. And I don't know if anyone's been to Church on Man. There's something in Church on Man that wasn't at WCC. And we had a great chat afterwards. And it started off a whole process in my mind about, obviously each church has got different things, different strengths. And it started off a whole process in my mind about, where are we going? What do we want to look like? And who do I want to look like? And I'm going to speak about those two things tonight. The thing I realized at WCC is that where there's truth, and where there is, thanks for your word, Nicole, being it confirmed what I was going to say, that where there's that denying of self, and it's not a denying of self in the religious sense where we're going to deny ourselves and we get that poverty religious mental thing, but it's a denying of self for something greater. It's a giving up to receive the treasure. And where a group of people have come into that revelation, and the flesh isn't, for me, the flesh is that unbelief, where there are other idols, where Christ isn't the idol. And where Christ is the idol is when Your life is Christ. Mm-hmm. That's all that matters. That's all you want. It's all that counts. He is everything and everything. You enjoy your marriage because it shows you more of Christ. You enjoy your friend because it shows you more of Christ. You enjoy your job because it shows you more of Christ. It's not Jesus helps me to have a better marriage that I might enjoy my marriage more. He is the life in it. And so he is the ultimate goodness. The blessings just magnify the blesser. And so I think where that has happened in the people, God is on that. And we experienced that on Sunday night at church in Man. And you understand why that's there, because the guy who leads the church, it's just there is no place for the flesh. You understand what I mean by the flesh? That sort of, I don't like those terms, that lukewarmness of those terms, but there's no place for that to rise up, because he just, it's uncompromising the whole time. And he's going at you the whole time saying, don't have anything before God, you know? He is the treasure. He is the treasure. Don't allow that to creep in your life. Your destiny isn't to have a white picket fence. You know, and he was on about, the king is on his throne. You're in a kingdom. It's the king. And it's quite like, as Carl, you were saying in the beginning, it's quite like a package, you know? We are, and I hope that we come in, Carl says, talks about Rob Rufus, and he talks about the fire. And I hope we go, yes, I want the fire. Because we must be like that as well. Yeah. We mustn't be, oh, you know, we're in the vineyard, you know? And this is sort of what I'm talking about. I want to talk about how we need to be both. But I hope that we can really stand it. When someone talks about the radicalness of the fire, I hope we get amped.
Yeah.
And says, I want the fire. I want to be radical. And the thing that was happened for me on that Sunday meeting was that God is when that self-denial has happened, God takes that place.
Mm.
And God's presence was there. He was on that meeting because there's that, God, you my life. You all that counts. And there was just like, as Glenn would say, you could feel it dripping off the ceiling. And it's nothing you do. But you just step into this place where people are in that environment. And it was very powerful. And I realized there's a weakness, not a weakness, but a place in our church where I think we can be stronger than that.
Mm.
Where we can say that I'm not going to give in to fear. And I'm going to be so, Christ is going to be so much my idol that I'm ready to do anything for him. And that I'm going to count the cost and I'm going to go and do that hard thing. Because we can misunderstand grace and say it doesn't matter. But it actually doesn't matter, because grace needs to be so free that even if you break it, it's still grace. The definition of grace is that even when you mess up, you're still free to do it. If that isn't the definition, you've created a new law, an obligation. So grace doesn't have any conditions on it. But I hope that as a people, we can be on that edge that Christ is so much our idol that when he says go and do something, we do it. And we don't have a space for the flesh in our church.
Mm.
That we have made him the center.
Yeah, number one.
And the number one. And so I was catching and I was like, you know, the wrong way to go about it is to see that and feel condemned. Oh, I'm compromised, Lord. You know, I've let you down, I'm compromised. No, we don't agree with that either. We don't agree with condemnation. But we're also not going to not contend for being a people like that.
Yeah.
And so I specifically felt God was speaking to us in two areas. And he was saying, make sure that Christ is your life above all other things. And we know that, but it needs to be a reminder. It sometimes needs to come up front. And for some of you say, you know what, is Christ your life? When you're sitting around talking about things, what do you talk about? What is occupying your thoughts? Is the thing you're talking about, we don't have to be so hectic about it, but as a whole, when we're together, and what is that underwriting thing that we're actually most excited about?
Mm-hmm.
And out of your heart will proceed the things out of your mouth. So as a whole, if we're not talking about that, if our vision isn't those things, if that's what we're not working towards, I think Christ isn't our idol. And we've let things come in. And it's not... I think... Thanks, Luke. So I just think we can have a little acid test on our lives by what is coming out of our mouths. What are our plans around? What are we planning around?
Very good.
You know what I mean? Caleb. What are we planning our lives around, you know? Of course I'm going to get to the nice side now. But we want to
be, nice side.
I know it is, but oh, I want it to be balanced. But I wish I said shut up. You just rather shut up. But I hope that our lives, even our Saturday Dom, as you're planning your marriage, Brie, that your marriage might be, I can't wait to see Christ glorified in my marriage. That's quite personal to Dom, but I'll give it to you as a prophetic word. But that's where we should be at, because that's a good example, because that's the most exciting thing in his life. And what's the most exciting thing in your life? Is your business growing about Christ being glorified in your business?
Very good.
That's a challenge to me, but I think if we get to that place in God, we're going to come in here, and he's our idol. He'll fill that space we're making for him. And he will be drenching off the roof because he's so keen. So
it's so good, guys. Gold dust, man.
So
shopping your home, it's
easy. Is it being said? Glenn likes to hear it once and then go. We need to massage in a little more. So yeah.
There's the thing on planning is really striking my heart.
Okay.
Say it again. Go harder
than
that point.
Does it go harder?
Expand on that point.
I just hope your planning must be around Jesus, because he is the treasure, and if it's not, then you're missing it. So, of course we plan all kinds of things, but there's just a place where the undercurrent of everything you're doing is God. And because that's the truth. Of course it's him. How can we make something else more important? And we're in deception. And God's presence isn't going to dwell in deception. It's going to dwell in the truth. And the truth is Christ, the treasure. You should make him your life. Jesus is your life. He isn't just going to help you with your life. He is your life. It's a big difference. And so, we must change our mindset in all our things. Relationships, jobs. I was just thinking marriage. You know, it must all be about those things magnify who Christ is. And when we, and I'm just felt God saying, when we get that right, you're going to base your life on such a firm foundation, because he can't let you down. He cannot let you down. He is love perfected. He's a solid rock. All the pictures that Jesus is given in the Bible of who he is, the rock. Build your life on that stuff, you know. And when we're getting anxious, it's also a little acid test, because you made something else your idol. You're getting anxious because it's not set in stone. But you're not going to be anxious when your life is Christ. How can it be? Because he is joy. So when problems come, I'll tell you what, the amount you shake in when a problem comes is a test of how much you've built your life on the wrong thing. Because if your life is built on the wrong thing when the trouble comes, you won't even move. You'll be immovable. And Luke, you affirmed it in Cal a couple of weeks ago that you'd seen a deeper joy in his life. And that is where God wants us, where the joy will be so deep in him that when the problem comes, it won't even move you. Because you're sitting in perfect hope, in perfect peace, in perfect love, in perfect faithfulness. And there'll be a substance of knowing that in the spirit. There'll be a substance of knowing that. So when those things come, they won't move you. And so I believe that's a place for us. And so we need to contend for that. And we mustn't. I think the deception comes in where we become fearful. We don't believe that, and we head towards something else, and we place our trust in something else. But we need to keep saying, God, you are life, you're all that counts, and we need to be sharp, so that when others are around us and they see you walking in that, you'll see it in yourself. And that was my experience on Sunday when I went to that meeting. It reflected straight back at me, and I knew myself where I'd. You know, I don't even like the word compromise, because I don't need to. Where I'd been deceived, because that's really the truth. You're just deceived, because Christ is everything. He is life. He is everything. He's only that matters. I promise you, at the very end, no one's going to say, I wish I hadn't made him more my life. You're never going to say that. You know what I mean? And so, I'm really hoping as we become that kind of people, there'll be a radical edge about us. That we won't worry about what people think about us. And God is saying that when you're in that place, he can start moving. Because he wants to bring words to people, but the words get stuck in us because of our own issues. Our own flesh that is nervous and flimsy and weak and doesn't want to go there. But Christ went there with people. He went there with people and he gave it. And you know, afterwards the people will love you for it. But we need to be that people who are in the place where we can go and deliver whatever God wants. And you know what? You might get rejected, but God will just move you on to the next thing. And so, I really hope, it's not even about rejection. I think hopefully we'll just go beyond that. It won't even affect us if that starts happening to us. But I really see it in us as a people that we will be on that edge, that we would be, and I especially said it with regards to relationship with our church, because the strength of WCC has been community and an ability for people to feel welcome and to feel loved and to feel like someone's making friends with them. But we need to be careful as a church that the community doesn't become the idol, because we'll be so keen to protect the friendships that we won't protect the truth of God. And you will lose what community you actually had. Because community is based on God's truth, not on us trying to create it ourselves. So we need to love God first, and then we will build a real community. And so I want us, though, just be some signposts for us that we are aware of that as a church. That we're not scared to say hard things to each other, because that will really bring community. That will build respect. Because if I can be real with you, you start to actually trust me. But if I'm going to hide stuff from you, that's the truth. We're actually going to lose respect for each other. And we chatted about the other day, even in business. You know, it's the same principle in business. You got to do that in business as well. Even if you think you're letting your client down, you're going to lose him. In the long term, you're going to build a culture of respect. And that will build a genuine community. So I think we need to be sharp on that and be aware of that. And following on from that as well, I thought God was saying he will start to add to us when we can walk in that. Because he wants to build his church. And we've got to be a people who are ready to build his church. And you're ready to build his church when you do it every sense. And if we're not going to be that people who are on the edge, who are ready to do it, he can't add, he can't build. And he wants to build. He wants to advance the kingdom. God so loved the world. He's reconciled the whole world. He wants everyone in on it. And he wants to add, you know. But we need to be the people who are ready for it to be added to. So maybe I'll come back more to that. But that was what I saw for us going to church on Sunday. But then what I also saw there was that the whole theme there was he's the king and you're in the kingdom and it's army general stuff. And I back it because we are in the king's army and there is a mission and we must be radical and we must have denied ourselves for the treasure and we must not give in to fear and we must do what God says we must do because that's actually where we're going to feel his presence and be satisfied. But at the same time, the balance can go wrong when you forget that he's a father. So I wanted to almost pray tonight, Father King. I would like to say a prayer like that, Father King. Because when you keep going on about the King, you're going to lose what we were singing on earlier about the Father. And the themes were coming through the whole evening. And it was nice. We were praying about God, show us who we are. Show us that we're adopted. But we're also saying that we're in the King's army. So I hope we can be a people who are good at both. So I've covered the side here about the King. And we subjects in the kingdom. And we need it. The King must reign. He must rule. Whatever he says must go. And it's about the truth. And God's presence is on that. But I also don't want to be a people who miss out that we are adopted as children by a father. Because the Holy Spirit cries out in us, Abba, Father. And it's that word Abba is, as I've said before, it's that cry of, like a Jewish kid would cry out to his dad. Even now in Jerusalem, Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy. That is the essence as well of our faith. So it's Father King. And I just wanted to read this quote. Bill Johnson said, Bill Johnson, I follow him on Twitter. You must follow him. He's good. He says, I feel one of my primary jobs is to teach Christians to realize and spend their inheritance. So write that down. I feel one of my primary jobs is to teach Christians to realize and spend their inheritance. Because we can get it wrong if we get into this, the king mindset. We can start to think we're just a slave under the king in the army. And you're also going to make a mistake. And you're going to come under some sort of poverty mindset. That isn't the truth either. So we sons who are following the king. So I'm hoping that we can get into both of those so that that's the kind of people we can become. And we've been good at that in this church. We've been breaking down a lot of mindsets that has had the poverty mindset over it. The lack mindset. The God is impressed with me if I die to myself and have less. Which isn't the truth either. Because, I'll just maybe write this down. A king cannot be honored by a son who fancies himself a slave. So a king cannot be honored by a son who fancies himself a slave. God isn't impressed with you thinking that you must have less for him. He's not impressed. You need to believe who God says you are to be. And what happened at the cross was that Jesus became the curse of the world so that you could have all his blessings. He was perfectly obedient for you. So you are now in Christ, and you have this. His perfect obedience has given you the same access as he had to his Father, which is perfection. So we're sons in Christ, and we've been talking a lot about that. But I really hope that I can just touch on more now, a poverty mindset that also mustn't exist amongst us. God is impressed with you believing and receiving what he says about you. It's true humility to believe what he says about you. It's not humility to not believe what he says about you. And the promises in the Bible, Luke prayed in the beginning, are massive. Ephesians, you're blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. Jesus said, you will never hunger nor thirst. What we experience on heaven is also what we're should be experiencing now on earth. That's how big the cross was. And we've said before, we don't see enough what happened at the cross. And you know, heaven will be an ever increasing experience of God's joy, an ever increasing experience of God's glory, an ever experiencing journey of knowing him more, his wonders, his beauty. But that's not pie in the sky stuff. It's actually Julian said it. Heaven isn't pie in the sky. Earth now is steak on the plate. It's steak on the plate as well, because we think heaven's going to be pie in the sky, but life now is steak on the plate as well. So we need to not go under that poverty mindset that thinks we've been pressing God by having less, because we've said it before. True sons will lead our prodigal sons back. The slaves, Christian slaves, are not going to lead the world back. And in the beginning, God created us in Eden. Eden means pleasure. And what Jesus did at the cross was to reverse the curse of everything that happened that was wrong and take us back to that place of pleasure. And so we need to be sons and daughters back in the garden. And what was in the garden? There was provision. There was unending opportunities. There was perfection. There was health. These are the things that are available to us again. And you need to see afresh how big the cross was.
Nudity.
Within marriage. Although we went to Sandy Bay yesterday. We went to Sandy Bay yesterday and we didn't see heaven. We saw some old bulls. Yeah. Luke wanted to go and walk. we went for a sip. Now you've thrown me. You see, I mustn't try and be funny when I'm preaching. Eden. So yeah, just let's get a bigger vision of what the cross meant. And we've talked about it a lot, but the cross is the reversal of the curse. He took it all on himself. And now we're so blessed. He was so cursed, and now we're so blessed. And it's still such a battle in our minds to receive that full goodness. We count ourselves unworthy. But how can you count yourself unworthy if you're actually supposed to be dead? The gospel's your death certificate. You know what I mean? You're dead. You're alive now, Romans 6. You can't start to have self-pity and feel unworthy and say, God, I shouldn't be, I'm ashamed. He's not even allowing you that. He's saying you're dead. You're dead and you get raised in me. Now have what I'm giving you. So we've got to keep on it, because it's hard to receive. It's hard to receive God's goodness. And it was the same temptation Eve had, because Eve was tempted to have something she already had. They were already made in the image of God. And Satan, the snake, came and said to her, if you had this, you will be like God. But what was she like? She was already like God. You see, so the deception, it's a deception that we don't really have something. So, you know, just the deception comes in that you don't really have it. And so, I don't know if that maybe is helping a little bit. But,
yes. I want to just quickly say something that I think that I've just thought while you were saying this. I've realized I've actually always thought, just telling you guys, I've always thought that when maybe, like, in your 20s or your 30s, it's like the good years of your life when you really, and then it gets hard. And I thought the same way about God. You know, like the 20s and the 30s, and then it's like, you know, rock and roll. And then, like, something's got to break, and God's not going to always be good. It's going to get hard. It's going to be a bit of a slog.
It's quite a lie.
I'm just letting out what I'm realizing tonight.
Maybe because I'm 50.
No,
it's better. It really does get better.
I'm like seeing that. I think you don't have to go through a slump.
No.
Tell us.
No, you don't. In fact, the intimacy between you and God as the years go by, because now you have a history with Him, it gets better and better and better, because you can look back and see where you've come from. And just the things that have crossed your path along the way, and just see His glory and where you're going. It's quite exciting,
I must say.
I want to line up everyone
every
day and just go,
yes,
that was good.
Amen. Just fill a word for someone, maybe. God can be good for you because it's not about you.
Yeah.
God can be as good as He wants to because it's not about you.
Mm-hmm.
And that might help you, because it's not about you anymore. And when you're self-conscious about how you're doing, you can't let Him be good to you. So we have to break our self-consciousness about how we're doing in relating to God. He's not interested in how you're doing, because His Son was perfect for you. That is what it means to live in grace. It means to just fully look at His performance for you. And that will break that thing off you, because we're so conscious of how we're doing. But He's not even interested. Where the Romans goes as far as say, where there is no law, there is no transgression. Christ is the end of the law. You can't actually even transgress in the new covenant. That's how far it's gone. You've got to catch a glimpse of how far it's gone. You know, where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. He's made it so possible that it's not even about you anymore. And when you catch that, you'll be empowered to live out what He wants to do. I promise you, when you see that, you'll be empowered.
So is there no discipline, eh?
Discipline and love, always to point you to the higher.
Yeah, so all I'm saying is, if there's discipline, then God is interested in how you're doing. I understand how you're saying it. You're saying it from a God. That's not like weighed up when it comes to how much He loves you and how much He wants to give you. But He is interested in how you're doing, because that's where discipline comes.
Yeah.
I think He's not interested in how you perform. Do you know what I mean? He's not interested in your performance.
But your character kind of links to your performance. So yes, it's not the other way around. It's like faith without works is dead. So in the character of Christ comes the works, but He's not actually interested in your works. He's just interested in you because He loves you. So it is kind of an upside down thing, but can be a little bit confusing.
Yeah, I think I just want to leave that for the moment, because I don't quite fully know how to bring those two together.
Sure.
But I do think that what I want to speak about is there.
Yeah, that's where it would have confused me.
I know,
me.
We've spoken about it a lot, yeah. But I just want to, Jesus said to the woman at the well, I don't condemn you, go and sin no more. So he gives her the gift of no condemnation. And in that place, she sees who He is, and then she's empowered not to do it anymore. So I'm just saying, that is, for me, that's a key to get to see it in that order. But let me just try and summarize it quickly for you guys. Yeah, just my idea. We can speak about some of those questions again, maybe. But just what I really wanted us to get from this thing was that we would make sure we both of those things that I spoke about. So the first one was sons under a king who are, and God's still on it, I can feel He's still on it, where Christ is our idol.
Yeah.
Make sure He's your idol. There's so much weight of God's presence when you're in that place. It's amazing. When you just come in here and you're not even interested in your mates, but you're just interested in putting your hands up and meeting with God. That was our fast on Sunday. People were there, but as soon as that worship came, everyone just wanted to run to the front. And you could see that was on their hearts. They couldn't wait to get into God's presence. That's all they were hoping for. All day since they got up in the morning, that's what they wanted that night. To be together, tasting God, being with Him. And so I hope we can be those people. That we don't come here and are more interested in what we did on the weekend. Because then we're going to miss it. And God isn't going to drip from the ceiling in that place. Because we're actually deceived. So I really pray that we will be those people. And so if this word pierces you, great. Let it pierce you. And there's the discipline. You know, and He's love. It's a loving art, arrow through your heart. Because He wants to move you to a new level in God. So let go of the junk that you're holding on to that you think is so great. Because it's actually rubbish.
Yeah.
That's what Paul said, I count it all junk. He wasn't, I count it all junk, I'm going to go after God. I'm going to do it, Lord, I'm going to do it for you. He wasn't saying it. He was just like, it's all just rubbish, man. You guys are crazy. Do you see the glory?
Yeah.
That's what he was saying, man. And even Stephen, who was martyred, he just saw the glory of God. Go and read Stephen when he was martyred. He just saw the glory of God. And he had a smile on his face. I've seen an artwork of that. He just has a joy on his face. And Jesus also, for the joy, he endured the cross. So we go through the so-called hard things because Christ is the reward in it, man. And it's awesome. So we must let go of the things that are holding us back, you know? And read the scriptures in a new light. Not like it's some such a heavy thing we've got to do. Carry your cross. And Paul said, stop, get the things off that entangle you so much. I think Paul was just running ahead in joy. He was so stoked. He was just breaking the things of the world off him. And I reckon when Paul was stoned, he had just joy in him. He was amped because the glory of God was on him as he was getting stoned. You know what I mean? So there's a joy in that place. And it's not this poverty, lack thing, and self-denial thing. It's an awesome place to be in, and you'll be glad when you get there.
Yeah.
And I've got fears in my own life as well. People I don't speak to, things I don't say, things that scare me that God's called me to. And we all have it, and we live, especially the guys in Woodstock, God's put so much stuff on people who live here and on the church to do. And they scare us. And we need to just get over it. And we need to just go, Nike, just do it. Because you know, once you break and you do it, you realize that fear was just a big bubble in the end. It's a big bubble that gets blown up with air in it. And when you prick it, it was a little bit of water that big. That's what fear's like. It's a big roaring lion that's in a cage anyway. And for me, fear is what holds back a lot of people. And when we can break that, we'll go ahead and do what God's calling us to do. And it'll be amazing what He wants to do. And I feel like, also felt like I was driving and God was saying, He's going to build His church on people who have made Christ their idol.
Yeah.
Yes,
when we are, Christ is our idol, and we're so firm in that, and we're standing there as pillars, He will start to build His church on us. And it will carry a heavy load. But if we're flimsy like that, I don't know if He can build on us.
Yeah.
Can He build on us? Because if he adds us, are we ready to disciple those people? Are we ready to lead them? Are we ready to give them the truth? Can they see the truth in us?
I just earlier on in worship, there was a verse that stuck with me, and that just links so nicely. Can I read it?
Mm.
In 2 Corinthians 2:14, from there, in the Messiah, in Christ, God leads us from place to place in one perpetual victory parade. Through us, He brings the knowledge of Christ. Everywhere we go, people breathe in an exquisite fragrance. Because of Christ, we give off a sweet scent rising to God, which is recognized by those on their way to salvation, an aroma redolent with life. But those on the way to destruction treat us more like the stench of a rotting corpse. This is a terrific responsibility. Is anyone competent to take it on? No. But at least we don't take on God's word, water it down, and then take it to the streets to sell it cheap. We stand in Christ's presence when we speak. God looks us in the face. We get, and then that just stuck with me. God looks us in the face, and we get what we say straight from God, and we say it as honestly as we can.
Mm. That's cool, Kath. Mm-hmm. What scripture is that?
Oh, 2 Corinthians. Just
the message.
That's all I can go. chapter 2, from 14 to the end of chapter 2. But I mean, about the scent, for some being an aroma, those are who God is calling to Himself at that time. And for the others, so we don't need to be afraid, because you'll know when the scent is sweet to them.
Yeah. And you know what people are crying out in the world is to see that solidity, that rock in somebody. Because their life is like shifting sand. Because there's nothing they can build their life on. This is people in the world. And there's nothing that's consistent. There is nothing. And when they see that in you, it's like, I want that. I want that. I'm so desperate for that. You know what I mean? So if we can be, I see a vision for myself. I can be so satisfied in God, but so also have such an edge that I can say whatever it is. And I'm not worried about what people think. There's none of that entanglement on me. And I'm so free in that. And I'm so found in God. And my identity is so much there that if I'm like that, people will want that thing. And then my heart that wants to lead others to God, which is what just happened. So when that compromises out of our life, we'll be bright shining stars, I'm telling you. And people will come to you and say, what is that thing? So I really...
Sorry, I just want to add something. Like while you're speaking this morning, I woke up kind of heavy because the stuff that God's asking me to let go, and like a human, I'm turning on and I thought I'd let go, and then I see myself being victorious in it, and then I just, the next minute, I find myself holding onto it again. And this morning I woke up really heavy about it, and I was so tired. I was just like, Lord, I don't feel like doing this anymore. I'm tired of trying and getting nowhere. And then just opened the Bible, and just out of desperateness, it's like, Lord, speak to me. And he led me to, it just opened at Deuteronomy 7. And it's like so apt to what you're saying tonight. Basically about Moses speaking to the Israelites and saying, destroy the idols. And like it spoke so clearly to me. He says, and you must devote them to complete destruction. So devote your idols to complete destruction. And you shall make no covenant with them and show no mercy to them. And God spoke so clearly to me about this. It's all or nothing. Like, I don't care what you think you're losing. You're not losing. And then after that, it's like a mass of words of just promise that God promised the Israelites. And we know the story that they keep going back. They keep trying to go back. But, you know, the promises still stood. Like, God knew it was coming, but... it's because of our own doubt and because we don't know God. We don't trust 100% that He is faithful, that He is true, that He is loving. So I'm really encouraged. Like, your word is so like on the spot. And just my a testimony from today. It's been such a good day because I was like, okay, I hear you, Lord. And for me, it was in my thoughts even. In my thoughts, I have to let go. And that's the biggest thing. We don't see that as physical. But even there, like God's asking us to even there surrender.
Yeah. And this is the journey we're all on in so many areas. And it's about Nike, just do it. It's just it. And stop flopping about. And I think that's, for me, I've been doing so much thinking about, we're preaching a grace message and it's lovely, but where do we come in and say, you know, stop it. Get over it. Get over yourself. Get over your self-pity and do it. Where do we get over it? I think Paul was like that. So we're radical on both ends. Let's not miss the one, you know. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Get over it. Stop being fearful. Give it up. God's better and I'll go for it.
That's love.
And I think we've all got those things in our life. And I'm sure as I'm speaking, God's saying to each of you, that's the thing I've been on. And let's not get what's been happening in our church wrong. We want to be radical about going for those things. And we want to be on the edge. And we want to do what's hard. And because the thing is, once you're over it, you look back, you're like, I can't believe that was holding me up. It was such rubbish. Think back 3-5 years ago of those things you wouldn't want to give up in your life.
Yeah.
I used to say the most ridiculous things that I wouldn't give up. I can't believe I even used to think it. Ridiculous things that were just leading me into destruction. And that's God's love. That's God's discipline, you know. He's helping you to let go of things you think you need.
Yeah.
And maybe he has to bring something hard in your life for you to finally realize, I'm going to let it go now. And I'll just finish with this. I think this is more what God's on than what the other thing. But there's a great book by Larry Crabb. It's called Shattered Dreams. And it's a wonderful book. And it talks about, in our lives, we all have different places where we're finding life. We find life in relationship, in our job, in everything. We're finding life. But the only place we truly find life is in God. The only place we truly find joy is in God. And everything else is like pale shadows to the real thing. And God, and the thing with shattered dreams is God sometimes, I I thought this was a word for some people. God has to bring something so hard into your life that those things you were finding life in are rendered useless. Mm-hmm. Because you're so broken, you can't even enjoy them anymore. Mm-hmm. And you're forced to go deeper, to a deeper level and source of joy. Mm-hmm. And there you find God. So God's discipline and his shattering of your dreams is his love for you. So praise God when you're going through something hard. Because he is shattering your medium dreams for your deeper dream, which is to be found in his river of joy. And you'll only truly be happy in him. So don't be upset with what he's doing to you. And he is completely in control. I just feel as if I'm hearing the Spirit and I'm hearing the Spirit and I'm following little baby steps of what he's showing me. I'm in his purposes. And that's where you need to make sure you're at. You're seeking him. You're in his purposes. And even when it's tough, he is working something awesome in your life. Mm. He is working something really, really good. And I'm telling you, it's along the lines of shattering your dreams. Mm. There are a lot of... I love to meet a Christian who's broken, but it's in the Spirit. Mm. Because I know God is doing a massive thing there. Because they're in the Lord, and he's breaking them. Imagine where he's taking them. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine what he's doing? Mm-hmm. He's shattering the surface stuff because he's taking them much deeper. And so don't despise the hard things you've gone through. His purposes are all over them. Mm-hmm. They're all over what he's doing. Mm-hmm. And he's teaching you. He wants you in that place. You know, this brokenness is so intense that you can't find life anywhere. And you forced, as those things break you onto your knees, and there you find joy. Mm. There you taste them. And then you'll never be the same again. Because once you've tasted that, that thing can't lure you away anymore. Because it's empty. And it tastes like rubbish. And you'll be like Paul saying it tastes like dung. So there's a mysterious thing of how he breaks us to discover that. And what I say, why don't we be people who don't have to be broken to taste it? You know what I mean? We don't have to be broken to taste it, but a lot of the times we're too stubborn. So God has got to do it in our lives. But we can also choose it freely to let go of the things and to seek Him. Should we pray? Let's just be open to God speaking to you very individually about anything that was said. And you know, when the Holy Spirit, I don't believe he's convicting you, but he's lovingly touching on you where you maybe in deception or you're on letting something go. And the way to discern that is it's very peaceable. It's sometimes hard, but it's peaceable. So Father, I just pray right now that you would weigh on people, Lord. Come weigh in, Lord, on people of the things that you've spoken already. Maybe the things you're speaking for the first time, Lord, about what we need to be letting go, Lord, or where we don't have you as our idol, Jesus. And Father, we break the deception that you aren't the idol, that you aren't good, that you aren't trustworthy, that you aren't worth going after, that you aren't worth counting the cost for, Lord. So we just pray for your ministry now, Lord. I pray that to each one there would be just something released, Father. Yes, Lord, just release some prophetic things here. If you've got a word for anyone, just be bold. He has a good chance for you to be bold. Go and say that thing you want to say to someone. The thing about when God comes and tells you to let go of something, he always brings with it a prophetic place of where you're going to. And it's encouraging. He's going to say, hey, come let go of that because I want you to go there. And it's wonderful. And see further. See further. I want to give you so much. Yes, Lord.
I've had this quote in my head all night that I was reading yesterday, but it says, those who love the idea of community will destroy community.
Yeah.
Those who love people will build community.
Yeah.
And I just, I feel that even for myself, maybe I've loved the idea of community so much, but it's of no value, of no good, if I'm not willing to really love all of you. And sometimes love is not an easy thing, it's a truth-bringing thing, it's challenged by that too? Mm. Or is it to love each other more than the dream? To commit to that again. And even with God, it just feels like we love the idea of God, of Jesus, all he's done, being his son, or being his follower. But sometimes we love this idea, we need to get to know who he is again. So just like Gaz has been saying, like, to make God your idol again, sometimes I feel like we make the idea of God the idol even. I don't know if that makes sense to anyone, but to get to know him.
For God's just saying, every good thing in your life, it must magnify me. It must magnify me. Say, I love my business. Oh, it magnifies you, Jesus, that you've given it to me. I love my art, but it magnifies you, Jesus, that you've given me this creative thing.
Yes.
I love my husband, but it magnifies your provision. It magnifies who you are.
Yeah.
God's just challenging us. So I feel like God's saying that the lesser things we hold on to that we think we're going to give life, that are giving us life, actually diminish our vision. They're diminishing us. They're shrinking. But when our life and vision is in Christ, it's ever expanding. And I just had a word also before I said that Abram said to God, I'll give you the land as far as you can see. It's like a prophetic thing. That is, he'll give the land as far as you can see. And the more you're in Christ, the further you see, the more is possible. The greater vision for your life, the greater you realize he wants to bless you. And you'll see further. And he will give you the land as far as you can see. And how far can you see? You're going to see further when Christ is your life. You're going to see a lot further. I just think that the word was that we always have vision and plans for our own lives about where they're going, and as the day and things unfold, we're pulling it together. Where am I going? What am I doing? What's going to be happening? But I feel that we need to make sure that our plan is Christ, and that everything works around that, and that it's not that he's there to help us with those things.
Sure.
God isn't there to help us clean our idols alongside us. Some of us get stuck in, oh Jesus, please just polish that up a bit more for me. Thank you that you've given me that, and just can you shine it up a little bit more for me. He wants to blast those out the way. Everything points towards him and is him. And then I promise you, he'll give you more. He'll build more on you. Yaka, I just feel your planning, when you're in that place in your heart, your planning will be easy. Because your priorities will just have instantly changed in front of you. And it will all start to flow together.
Yes, Father, I pray that you would release a radical edge. A fire that burns within us that we can't turn from. You are so before us, Jesus. That you've consumed us. That Edward said, you stamp eternity on our eyeballs, God. That we branded under fire. And we can't look away, God. We can't take our eyes off you, Jesus. We consumed, we caught up in you. Completely sourced in you, Jesus. That we are just radically on the over the edge, we're on the ledge after you, Jesus. That we risk, that we're obedient, we're just sucked in. And it's not a fad, it's not a short wave, a sea. I've been spent on you, God.
I just feel that what's often been a problem with this sort of preach and ministry is that people think they need to come and you do need to lay something down, but it's picking up something better. It's picking up the treasure. It's picking up the diamond. That's what helps you to let something else go. He's not just asking you to give something else. He's wanting to replace something. It's a big difference. So maybe if we just want to just find someone next to you, or just pray that God would reveal the treasure again to that person. That they might see clearly the worth and the value of Jesus. That it's very easy to give things up from that place. That they might come into that place of meeting with Him and being so satisfied in Him that everything else just looks like rubbish and doesn't even count anymore. But it's in that place of beholding the glory of God that we're transformed. So Father, won't you just release that now, Lord? Release a reminder, Lord, of those times in you, Lord, where we were so amazed and so blown away and just tasting your goodness and so much in a place of trust, Lord, that it was so easy to let go. And fear was just removed from us, Lord. And we're just moving forward. Father, won't you just bring that again freshly over us?
I just had a sense that God wants to break like familiarity. That people are stuck in things because they're familiar with it. Could be relationships and it could be just habits. But because this thing has been around you for so long, it's familiar and it feels right just because it's familiar. And God wants to take that familiarity away from you. And to, in exchange, is to bring something that is so exciting, so new, so fresh, so life-giving.
Just feel like for everyone, but Luke, I'm going to say it to you, like over Luke's bed, like over you, can be the example for all of us. God's prophetic destiny picture for you is that He wants you to be so blessed, so favored, but He wants you to be so bold in the world and so sharp for His kingdom. That's where He wants you to be. And that's for every single one of us. He wants us to walk in exquisite favor and blessing. And things working together amazingly. And richness of life. But He wants you to be in a place of incredible boldness. And so ready to give God's word. And so ready to speak life. And so ready to come against things that are not of God. And to break things down. So ready to speak into people's lives around you. I just know that that's what He wants for all of us. But I just feel outside of you, Luke. No, I was just thinking in my own life. There's some people in my life that I'm incredibly scared to say things to. And it's because their opinion really matters to me. And that is in Christ. Christ is, their opinion doesn't matter. To be in Christ means that no matter what you say to them, it shouldn't matter what they think. But there's a fear in us that rises up because you're worried about what they think. And that's the flesh actually in you. That's a place where you haven't been found in God yet. And I know it in my own life. I can say things to a lot of people, but there's specific people I cannot go and say it to. Because their response to me actually matters to me. But it shouldn't matter. And if I truly love them, I'd say those things. It's a hard word, but we need to get there if God's kingdom is going to advance. We need to get there. We've got to break through that. And it's hard, but it's rubber hits the road. And you know, there needs to be a place where there's actually fruit in our lives. You know what I mean? Where we process things and there's going to be fruit. And actually go and say that thing to that person. And I'm speaking to all of you, but I'm speaking to myself as well. And when we're in that place, Christ is going to be reigning in our church and in our lives. And I can't wait to get there. But there's a lot of fear I've got to go through myself. And it's all a lie.
I see an image of a little girl sitting on their table and clinging to like an old stale cracker and not wanting to let go of it, and it's quite dark under the table and there's light and there's this feast on top of the table, and it's like a feast set for a king and God's sitting there waiting to eat with us, but we're too scared to come out because it just feels like the cracker is all we're going to get. And there's so much more. It's like just, yeah. And he's calling us to be real sons and sit and eat with.